So I'm gonna need a little interaction this morning, okay? I'm a guy that I have to have action. And so I want to ask you a question. Oh, by the way, Kevin did ask me to speak this morning, in case you were wondering. And my name is Chris, in case you don't know who I am. I'm Chris. I'm one of the many, like, 10,000 Chris's in Chester, but I am one of the Chris's. You can just call me Bender if you don't know anything else. You know, just, hey, Bender, you know, that way I respond to you. And you guys have been on my heart for a long time now. Deep on my heart. And I love being here. In my heart, I've been looking for home for a long time. And I found it. I found home with Jesus, but I also found home with you guys. And it's creating new things within me. Because I can't be who I am without you, without the body of Christ. We're not meant to be by ourselves, but we're meant to be in a body of Christ with brothers and sisters who are the same mind and same likeness that strengthen each other and encourage each other. And thank you for that. Thank you that I'm finally home. I've been waiting 40-some years to be home, and I'm finally home. So thank you. I got to ask you a question. Who has ever prayed or thought or even just slightly wondered, God, use me? Has that ever been on anybody's heart? I want to see your hands. Raise your hands. Okay. Look around. Keep your hands up and look around. You see each other? You're in the right place. You're in the right place. You're among strength. You're among people with common interest. Okay? There are places that don't have that interest, but you are among common interest. And you're among people that have the same desire in their heart. Hey, God, here I am. Here I am. Here I am. Now, let me ask you this question. Who's being used by God? You look around, and this is not a thing to be like embarrassed of. Okay, that you, if you're not raising your hand, that's okay. I've been there many times in my life. I just went through a season where I was there. Okay, that's okay. It's not meant as condemnation. It's just that's okay. So I want to talk about some disconnects today. You know, sometimes there's a difference between saying God, you know, in your prayers, like God, I want to be used. I want to be used. Between that and when we actually believe we're being used by God, there's oftentimes like a vast disconnect in between. It's like a, it's a process that takes place in between those words, and where you realize, hey, oh, God's using me. And there's oftentimes things in our lives that can hinder or trip that up, and sometimes even bring us to ruin for a long time. Because, you know, I've been ruined. I stayed ruined for a long time. And this morning I might make a fool out of myself. That's okay, because if God can use it, so be it. And you know, it's the funniest thing. Kevin and I were talking earlier this week, and I was like, you know, I was like, I don't ever write out my messages, or like I just kind of roll with it. And man, all week long I've been writing. And I'm like, God, what do I do with this? I was like, This might mess me up. I was like, this might come out like a lead brick. And I hope it doesn't. But God, like, really, this week was just after me, like, over and over again, just go deeper. Go deeper with this. Don't let, just kind of let it hang out. To just keep on turning this thing over. Let it just keep on. And it's a new area for me to operate this way. It's not, right, Molly? She's been praying that over for me for a long time. And so I'm going there this morning. So I'm a little stretched right now because I'm not used to being tied to something. And I'm not sure if I'm tied to it or not, but I'm going to have to stay there. And I'm okay with awkward silence too, okay? Because that's, if you are, I am, okay? That's just the way I roll, and I can be quiet all day long. It doesn't bother me. So I remember when first got saved. You know, That's one of my first prayers, I think, a lot of times when we're saved. It's like, God, yeah, you're all excited. You're like, God, use me. Hey, here I am. You just saved me. You just took me off all this stuff. All these brings, chains have been broken over my life. And, oh, here I am. I am ready to go. And then you sit back. And I don't know if it's just human nature, but or it's a way, what we've been kind of like taught. But we sit back and then wait for God to like use us. Because that's what we've been praying. It's like, well, God, use me. So you're like, okay, use me. And we're kind of like sitting there like he's just kind of magically just like we're going to be somewhere. And all of a sudden we just leave our bodies and he just takes over. And has anybody ever had that happen to you where you're like, you just, I've never had that happen to me where I'm just like a robot. I'm now wake up. I'm like, oh, what did he just do? I've never had that happen to me, honestly. And so that tripped me up for a while. I myself would feel, I'd start hearing God say, hey, go check that out. Or, hey, what about that? And it would scare the mess out of me. Because, like, I can't do that. I'm not good enough for that. It's like, God, no, you just do it. God, hey, you see this. Why don't you go take care of that? You go do it. So oftentimes, I think there's this disconnect that can happen and can actually bring ruin to us if we're not careful with that. Let me ask you this question, too. How many has God placed like a passion for something or like you have a vision of something that he's placed on your heart that you want to see done and you see that happening within you and you, or you want to see that happen? And but, it's and you might not even be operating there yet. But oftentimes there's things that will hinder us from getting there. And I call it like the in-between of when you're praying that prayer and when you're actually like, all of a sudden you find yourself like walking it out. Like I said, I've been in all these different stages. And sometimes I still am in those with new things, I'm still there. Oh, I have to walk through these things all over again. And I know in my own life, one of the greatest things that hinders me is fear. Fear and rejection of, okay, God. You start praying these prayers, God, use me. And all of a sudden, you feel him start drawing you to him. And then you're like, oh, I'm not a robot. Like, he's actually asking me to put some feet to this thing. Like he's actually asking me to have a little bit of action on my part. And I'm like, I'd rather just pray about it and be safe. And so all of a sudden, like this fear can come up within us. Fear of man, fear of being rejected, fear of what's this thing going to cost me? What are they going to think about me? Am I going to lose everything? Is it going to destroy me? Am I going to lose my business? Like all these different things can just come flooding into your mind. And so I'll be honest with you, one of my greatest fears in life is talking in front of people. I'll be honest with you, as a young boy, I had a bad speech impediment. And I think some of it came from I loved trucks when I was a little kid. And all I would say was truck. I think after I said mommy and daddy, all the word after that was truck. So everything I said was truck, 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 truck. And so, like, it messed up my speech badly. I would say the farmer in the field instead of the farmer in the field. And I had to go to, like, all these speech therapy classes all throughout middle school. And I was always, like, in that, everybody else went to recess. I had to go to speech therapy. And so it messed with me. I was like, I didn't like talking. It made me very quiet and made me not want to like talk to people. I can even remember people, I'd say something and people, what is that kid saying? My mom would have to interpret. And so I developed this fear of talking to people. And, I remember in high school, like you had to do public speaking and all that stuff. I would get sick I mean, like so much anxiety would well up within me. I would be just sick on that day. I'd skip school. I'd either tell my parents I was sick, or I'd go to school. I wouldn't show up for class. I was rebellious that way. And then, the teacher would finally be like, "Oh, Chris, your turn to speak." Oh, And then in college, I went to college as a mechanic. I was like, I'm safe there. I'm a mechanic. I can, I don't have to talk to people. I just work on cars. They don't talk to you. I get to drive them. They tell me what's wrong, either on a computer screen or you just fix something and it gets worked out. There's no communication. You're the boss man. He'll talk to the customer and he'll tell me what to do, and I'm good. But in college, I had two options. One was I could have just taken straight just automotive classes with nothing else. But instead, I took like the associate's degree version of it, which came with all like the economics and like the whole business side of it. And with that came English and literature classes. So I did all that stuff, and then all of a sudden, like at the end of the English class, there's like this public speaking like phase of it for a couple of weeks. And I was like, "Man, I thought I got out of that." And so it came my turn to do public speaking, and I just didn't show up. I took a zero. I had an A in English, but I had like a C because I took a zero. It was like a quarter of a grade. So I was like, "I'm good with that." I was like, I ain't talking. And I did that multiple times throughout English. And then this funny thing happened. A few years after that, I ended up getting saved. And I go off to Texas, out to YWAM, Youth with Mission. And I start having these quiet times. For whatever reason, God likes to hang out with me early in the morning before the sun comes up. Doesn't do that for everybody. Some people get to hang out with him during the day or at work or driving or at night. But with me, it's like that's when him and I just connect. It's like early in the morning. And so the whole dorm would be asleep and I'm like slipping out, walking around this, they had this huge property out there. And so I'm walking around out there and all of a sudden I feel like God's like stirring my heart because I was getting closer. I wasn't running from him anymore. I was getting closer and closer to him. And all of a sudden this thing would start welling up in me sometimes, like I just need to yell it out how I feel about him. I was like, "I ain't doing that." And I went probably for weeks where I was just like, and now I got to the point where I was afraid to have my quiet time. I was like, "What's God gonna ask me to yell? At 4:30 or 5 in the morning, and I'm gonna wake everybody up." So I would go way out. It was like 300 acres. I'd go way out back where there wasn't any houses, wasn't anything around except for some cattle and some wild pigs. And then I would start do a little bit. I was like, "Jesus, I love you." And I hear him like, "What'd you say?" And he was messing with me. And he'd be like, "Jesus, I love you." And I remember one day, all of a sudden, I just came bursting out within me. I was like, "Jesus, I love you!" And all of a sudden, it just like it broke within me. And I'm sorry if I just woke you up, if I put you to sleep. I do that to babies sometimes. Poor Audrey, sometimes she's standing next to me, and I'm like, all of a sudden, I'm like, "Oh, I'm sorry. Like, I just woke your kid up." And for the longest time, that was just me and him. And like I said, I always went really far away so nobody would hear me. And actually, one time there was this man, and he was actually the father of the founder of Youth for the Mission. He lived on our base where we were stationed at. And he liked to get up early and hang out with God too. And I remember one morning, I thought I was all by myself walking out there. There wasn't anybody around. It was pitch black out. All you see is stars, sometimes shooting stars or whatever, and no moon. I mean, it was pitch black. Nobody could tell I was there. And so I'm out there in the field, and I yelled something out. And all of a sudden, I look up, and there he's walking straight to me. I'm like, "Oh, I'm busted." And he just came up, and I don't remember exactly everything he said to me, but he was just like ecstatic. And he just started praying this stuff over me and like speaking words into me. And like I said, I remember some of the stuff in my spirit. I don't remember the exact words he said, but it stayed within me since then. And some of it was about me hanging out with God early in the morning. That would stay with me most of my life. And it has, and sometimes even earlier than. And for the longest time, that was one of those things that like stayed just between me and God. And I'd be in a, at a like a church service or something, and like I was like, I don't want to pray out, I don't want to do anything. And I was good with it. And then I feel like God's like, how much you love me. I was like, not here. Please not here. Come on, not here. And I'd just be like, try to keep my mouth shut, try to make an excuse of why I couldn't do it. Oh, it's not the right time. All these things that roll through your head, And I did that for a long time. And I remember, I believe I was at the Olympics. In 96, I was still in these schools. And I remember there was like 5,000 people in this huge auditorium. And I don't really remember all the details of it, but God reminded me of it this morning. And I vaguely remember this even happening. But I remember it happening. I remember of how like everything that went on within me. And I remember I was in the back of the room. And they were, like 5,000 people had come to the Olympics in Atlanta to do like intercession and worship and like evangelism in the city during the Olympics. And we were there, my wife and I, and we were there, as like support. Like I was doing, it was my job to fill up water containers with ice and water so that people wouldn't get dehydrated. And I also ran sound for some of the bands. But the one day I was doing ice, I was doing this ice, and they had just this awesome worship time. And I remember all of a sudden it got quiet, and was like, uh-oh. Because I was like, I started feeling him stirring within me, how much you love me. Not in front of all this. I was like, come on, don't do that to me now. And all of a sudden I just came out. And then I'm like, okay. And it's been funny, like since then, like I get in different times, and like God's like, just. And now it's more of a release for whatever's going on. But I still do it at home sometimes. My parent, my neighbors probably think I'm crazy sometimes. Oh, I remember Kevin and I had a prayer time one time out there together, and I don't know what all I yelled, but I heard it echoing through the woods. I was like, man, my neighbor is gonna lock me up. And it even happened to me this past weekend. We were at this conference, and they had these like guidelines of what was like where we were at was pretty like everything goes, but they did have a few guidelines, and one of those guidelines was like, don't, I think it said in there, please don't yell out, because if you do, and nobody's gonna hear you anyways because the music's so loud. And so I'm like the whole time, like I'm hearing this. I'm like, no, I'm not supposed to. I can't. I'm not supposed to do that. And I kept on feeling him, like, how much you love me. And there was a song, and all of a sudden, like, I was just like, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. And it just kept on rolling around in my gut, like, just thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And all of a sudden, I was like, it got quiet before I knew it. I was like, thank you. I was like, oh. But the fear of that thing, sometimes I have it, but it's gone. And even that rejection of what they're gonna think about me, like it's like it's gone. But it took like this long process to get there before I was able to do it. But that fear and rejection can come in all different ways, and we could spend here all day. And Kevin's taught on this many times, so I don't need to go down some of these paths. But we don't want to allow fear and rejection to hold us back from what God's asking us to do. And I know too, oftentimes there's I can I'm easy to make excuses. When I feel God drawing me towards something that I might have a little bit of fear about, I start making excuses. I start justifying in my mind of why this isn't a good time. Why that might be a better time then to do it. And what I'm doing, I'm just kicking the can down the road is all I'm doing. If I'm being, I have, you know, I've now, the closer I get to God, it's hard for me not to be honest with myself. I used to be able to lie to myself all the time and justify everything I did and just kind of like, just keep on like, I just put it behind me and squelch it. And I've realized for me to be able to get close, face to face with God, I can't squelch that thing. I got to deal with it as it comes up. And so I know now in my life, when I start making excuses about what God is asking me to do, I was like, yeah, that's God speaking to me. I was like, I know He's drawing me right now. I have a decision to make. And a lot of times it's something really small too. And it's insignificant. But He's like, well, what are you going to do about it? And so as I'm getting closer and closer to Him, it's becoming easier and easier for me not to, for me to be honest with myself and not to make those excuses of, you know, oh, I'm just tired, you know, my we gotta the boys have something going on and I gotta go get ready or you know, my favorite TV show is on right now. I mean, we can make lists all day long, and we all know of the things that we do to justify why we can't do things. And this is not to bring condemnation. Please don't hear that, okay? Because I love to watch TV, I love to go do stuff, I love to eat. I like my business, I like working, but this past week, like, I felt like God, I don't like go to conferences. I never have, and I'm like, stay away from me. And a few weeks ago, my wife signed up to go to this conference, and I was like, yeah, have at it, you know, go have fun and do whatever you want to. And the next day, I'm just minding my own business working. And all of a sudden, God's like, you need to go to that conference. And I'm like, you know, get behind me, Satan. I was like, I don't want none of that. I was like, man, it's on a Saturday. Saturdays are my biggest day for me to make money because, you know, all week long, I end up, you know, I get all these phone calls for parts and stuff like that or different jobs, but most of my work actually happens on Saturdays in the morning and in the afternoon. That's why I usually make all my money from the week. It just all kind of comes in on Saturdays. I'm like, you know, I can't do a Saturday. You know, Friday evenings are really good. I was like, that's when the conference is. I was like, I can't lay that down. That's like, right now is like prime season when I sell stuff. It's like, I'm gonna shoot myself in the foot. And I was like, I'm making excuses. I'm being inconvenienced right now. And I was like, okay, I gotta do the very opposite. I was like, I came inside, I was like, Amy, I said, it's gonna sound really weird, but I said, sign me up. And she's like, she just kind of looked at me like, okay. And then she's like, I don't remember what exactly she said, but she was like, you're not gonna ruin this for me, are you? I was like, I promise. I said, you can just drop me off. And I said, you won't see me all day long. If I said, if I'm struggling with this thing, I said, I'll just disappear. And I said, you won't know I'm even around. I said, you just tell me when you're going home and I'll meet you at the car. I said, I won't ruin it for you. Oh. But this amazing thing happened this weekend, you know, and I've been trying, you know, the whole time. I even told Kevin. Kevin's like, that must have been a God thing for him to ask you to go there, because he's like, he knows me pretty well by now. But the whole time leading up, you know, that past month or so, I was like, you know, I didn't want to think about it. I was just like, okay, I'm just putting on the date, so I don't plan anything for that weekend. I'm just setting it aside, setting it aside, setting it aside. And so I did, and I went, and it was just God spoke a whole lot to me this past week. And even some of the things I had this morning, he's like confirmed it over and over again. I was like, okay. And so I had all this fear going into it. I was like, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if? And Thursday, when it was time to leave, I would have, I was like, I even was starting to struggle a little bit. I was like, I brought all this stuff for me to do, so I had an escape route, I like called my dad. I was like, "Hey, man, Dad, I'll probably come hang out with you on Friday," and which made my mom upset because I never got to their house because she thought I was coming over, and so I kind of was making all these escape routes. But I ended up being there the whole weekend, like sleeping 4 hours a night, driving back and forth, and it ended up being this really good thing that God did in Amy and I both, and it released some new things within me. And I would have missed that whole thing had I not went, and had I not been obedient, and had I let that fear and all my excuses rule my life. One of the other things I sometimes go through is with things that God has asked me to do, is I begin to reason in my mind, well, I'm not prepared for this. Like, I'm not ready for this. And I remember one time being in New Orleans. I was like 6 months out of Bible school, out of youth and mission school. Me and another guy and two other people were like leading this like 50 young adults like in New Orleans, which is New Orleans is pretty crazy if you've ever been there. And we're on this ferry, and everybody's just kind of hanging out. And all of a sudden, me and one of the other leaders strike up this conversation with a man that we're sitting with. And he goes down this trail of this theology that was like based on some kind of movie. So everything you said to him went through this like movie theology he created. And my buddy was looking at me. He was like, "You just came out of school to Bible. You talk to him." I was like, "Man, I don't even know where he's at." I was like, and it messed me up. I was like, "I'm not prepared for this." And then I've realized since then I get in similar conversations sometimes because, I think Kevin even said, I mean, there's all kinds of questions sometimes. People have, where the giants come from? Where are all these different, like, theology? Like, there's all these different little rabbit trails you can take. And now God's like, a lot of times now he's like, don't get distracted by that. And then he'll give me something to say, and it just kind of puts it right there. But, he's asking us just to be ready with him in season and out of season. Just to be close to him and be face to face with him. And Kevin has spent the last, what, 2 months talking about being face to face with him. And, the closer we get to him, the more prepared we are. And he's asking us to be prepared in season and out of season so that when he says, "Hey, come here," we're ready to roll with it. And that we can easily put away these things because we're like, "I know who my father is. I'm a son. I'm a daughter of his. And I know he's got my back." And all of a sudden, these fears and all of a sudden, all this stuff, we're easily able just to put our foot on. It's like, no, we ain't dealing with that. I'm going to go. And there's a verse in Acts 8. It's talking about Philip. And the church had just come out of this time where, like, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit had been poured forth in the church. There's thousands of people coming in. It's this mega church. And all of a sudden, Stephen gets stoned, one of the first martyrs in the Bible. And all of a sudden, the church just freaks out, like, "Oh, they're killing us now." And you see them dispersed throughout the whole region. And so, one of these guys, his name was Philip, was one of these people that had been dispersed and went down to this other city. And actually, I think Peter and John were with him. And then, because Saul was persecuting the Christians all over that region and in Jerusalem. So everybody just like fled. And what it did is actually carried the gospel all throughout that region instead of just keeping it right there within Jerusalem. It actually took the gospel everywhere they went. And all of a sudden, just boom, it just multiplied. And it says in Acts chapter 8, verse 25, and it says, "And so they went solemnly testifying and spoke in the word of the Lord. They started back to Jerusalem and were preaching the gospel to the many villages of the Samaritans. They even went to the Samaritans, which they weren't, they didn't do that. But the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza." And he arose and went. Now, it doesn't say what went through his mind when they asked, when God asked him to go. He just says he arose and went. And in my heart, I'm like, I want to be able to just arise up and go. When God says, "Hey, I need you to go take care of this," I'm like, I just want to have that in my heart, like, okay, I'm going. But it takes time to get there, so don't beat yourself up, okay? And he ends up going down, and he's walking beside this road. It was called the Road to Emmaus. And there's this official, I think from Ethiopia, riding in a chariot that just came from Jerusalem and is going back home. And he's reading, I think, the book of Isaiah. And he doesn't understand what it's saying. And next thing you know, Philip is in the chariot with him. And this man is beginning to ask him questions like, "I've been reading this. What does this mean?" And he begins to, and it was verses about Jesus. It was prophecies from Isaiah about Jesus. And all of a sudden, Philip just begins to, the Holy Spirit just comes over him and he begins to speak to him. And next thing you know, the guy gets saved. He's being baptized. And then Philip gets caught up and is sent somewhere else. But it was all because Philip was willing to go. He was willing to do what wasn't comfortable. I mean, and I myself, I'd be like, that's a high official that's riding that chariot. Not just anybody rode around in chariots. This guy was probably an unlearned man, most likely, because most of the disciples were. They were fishermen. They were they were just commoners. And here's this official going down the road that he might not even be able to communicate with. And then he just all of a sudden finds himself in this God situation because he was obedient to be there. How many have ever found themselves where you're like, what if God asked me something to do I can't do? Who's ever thought that? Who's ever had that fear? I have. And that fear and those excuses can sometimes ruin us. Because what happens is all of a sudden, well for one, sometimes when we hear God beginning to ask us to do something, or he places like this vision upon us, our heart that's like way beyond us, it usually freaks us out. But then sometimes it can also begin to make us like, when we're excited for that, we all of a sudden begin to like paint this picture of how it's going to happen. And we start trying to make it happen. Or we just are like, we just sit there and, wait for God to make us a robot, and we become this like big dreamer in our head. And we're like, it's like we're already there, but actually we're not. And so you go around telling everybody, "Hey, this is what I'm doing." But you're not there yet because you're excited about what God's put on your heart. And then all of a sudden it doesn't happen the way you think it's supposed to. And we start to get angry with God. And we can start to allow it to like cause our heart to get hard because like he must not be God. He told me this thing, but that must not have been God. That, or he no longer loves me. I must have done something wrong. Well, somebody else took my place, and you become jealous of somebody else's gifts or dreams. Because like I was supposed to do that. And all of a sudden it can ruin our lives and it can ruin our hearts because instead of drawing us face to face with God, it draws us away from him because we're like, "Well, God, you didn't do that." But a lot of times, because we took that thing that God placed in our lives and we ran somewhere he didn't ask us to run with it. And instead, he's saying, "Hey, let me do that thing within you. Let me bring that about within you instead of you doing it on your own." I'm in this place right now, and I don't talk about it often, where God has given me some things. And a few months back, I was just working like normal. And all of a sudden, it was like God was giving me like downloads. All of a sudden, it's like everything that had been spoken over me since I was a little kid up through now, like came rushing back into my mind. And I spent like this whole day just like consumed with that thing. And like it was just being reminded, like I was being reminded of who I am in Him. Because a lot of these things were things that I had heard and were spoken over me, and they didn't happen, so I threw them away. And I'll be honest with you, my ordination certificate, I got rid of that years ago. I was so angry, I threw it away. There was things that had been spoken over me that people had wrote and given it to me. I threw them away. I was like, I don't want that anymore. And I went through this long process because I was ruined in my heart, because I thought I was rejected, I was done with. My time was over, I missed it, I messed it up. And instead, God was like working things out of me. And just lately, like all those things came flooding back in my mind, but then he started speaking things that were like way beyond that. And I'm like, God, I was like, that's way beyond me. I that freaks me out by you even asking me these things. And I've only told Kevin and my wife about it. And when I had, with both of them, I like Kevin was like, just say it. We were sitting out here in the cafeteria, and I'm like bawling and he had a great patience with me, and I put it to the air. But it's one of these things where like God is asking me and calling me to something that's way beyond me, that I couldn't even make happen if I tried to. And God's been dealing with me, and he's like, just put it on the shelf. Don't worry about that. And so I want to help you guys, because I believe we're entering into a time when God's going to begin to give you guys dreams and visions. This whole thing with Billy Graham, probably the greatest evangelist we ever seen on the face of the earth. Great man. And I don't mean to diminish anything that he did. But we have gone through this long season where we always look to great men to accomplish the will of God. And I believe that season is changing, where he's saying it's time for common men and women of God to do the great and mighty things. And he's got to start to be able to pour out those dreams and visions into your life. Because those men like Billy Graham, and we can go down a list of different people that we know of. Some of them came to great failure in their life. I just spent, I grew up at the PTL property with Jim Baker. Great man of God, but he failed. He had a moral, he had this great fallout in his life, and he was crushed because there was so much weight and intensity just pointed towards him that he couldn't carry. And Billy Graham was one of these guys that was able to carry it and carry it well throughout all his life. But most people can't handle that, because you become this instant target, because all of a sudden you rise above everybody else, and everybody, the devil or whoever, sees it, and they go after it. But Billy Graham was one of these guys that was able to withstand all that. But most men can't. But as I begin to hear God say, hey, I'm going to begin to release things in the many people. I'm going to give many people great dreams and visions. I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all mankind. And when I saw that, all of a sudden I saw this picture, like Satan and all those evil forces aren't gonna know where it's coming from. It says in the Bible they're gonna look, they're gonna, people are gonna be like, well, Jesus is over here, Jesus is over here. Like it's gonna, they're gonna be so distracted, because they're like, they ain't gonna know which way to go, because all of a sudden he's pouring out all over the place. Because there's gonna be so many different people operating in his anointing, and not just one or two at one time. But there's going to be multiple people, multiple different places, where you're going to be like, oh, Jesus, no. It's going to be all over the place. And it made me quite excited when I started seeing that picture. But we have to be able to handle those dreams and visions when he gives it to us, instead of just like freaking us out, or like, I'm going to go make it happen. We need to learn how to just kind of put it there, just kind of put it in the back of our mind, but not let it wreck us. And something that God's beginning to take me through, because Kevin even asked, we were eating breakfast the other morning, and he was like, "So how are you doing with all that?" Because I, you know, we didn't talk about it since then. It had been like, what, 2 months or something like that. And he's like, "So how are you doing with all that?" Because, you know, I've been kind of quiet. And I've been like, you know, I'm actually doing pretty good with that. And I've been, instead of it making me run away from God, I've been getting closer and closer to Him, face to face with Him. And I don't even pray about that thing that He's asking me to do. I don't even go there because I'm like, that's beyond me. But I'm like, God, what do you want me to do right now? Where do you have me right now? I don't want to lose what's going on right now and just get my head on the what's happening out there. And he's begun to take me through this process of, you know, I used to pray, God, hey, all of a sudden my eyes became open to different things and my ears become open to different things. I'd start hearing and seeing things. I was like, and my first reaction was like, God, why don't you go take care of that? Hey, look at that. You know, and I'd spend all this time in the intercession and nothing happened. And I start feeling him kind of dare me a little bit. He's like, what are you going to do about that? And I'd be like, God, you go take care of that. Or send somebody to go take care of that. And he's like, what are you going to do about that? And then all of a sudden it dawned on me. I started, my prayer started changing. It's like, God, what do you want me to do about it? What am I to do right now in this situation? What role am I to play right now? And all of a sudden it took all this pressure off of me. Because he's been very diligent and very faithful to answer. And usually it's very small little steps. You know, if I did it years ago, it would seem like this huge mountain I was climbing. But now it seems like small steps. Just like me yelling out in the field. That was a major hurdle for me. Now it's, you know, when I'm by myself, like, it's just common sometimes. When I'm in a room, it's easier. Okay? It's still a little bit of a hurdle, but it's easier. But I begin to find myself in situations where God, what do you want me to do about this? And it's not like this thing where I'm like, I gotta go pray. It's just like this real quick thing that just happens in my mind. And I remember the other day I was, there was this man that came and bought parts for me on a Saturday. He came, left, and he just was kind of hanging around. And, you know, I had all these people coming all day long, and I wasn't really cluing in that day. And then on Monday, he's like, hey, I forgot something. Can I come back? So he comes back, gets the thing he was looking for, and he's just kind of hanging around. He just keeps on, like, looking at me. All of a sudden, I'm like, oh, God, what do you want me to do about this? I'm a little slow to clue in sometimes. And all of a sudden, he starts talking, like, I realized why he was driving around. Like, he drove a couple hours to come buy this $25 part. I'm like, I want to waste my time. But he did. And all of a sudden, he's like, yeah, my son, he had a 2-year-old son. He's like, he's in intensive care. He's like, they don't know if he's going to make it. He's like, he's got the flu. He said, we can't even see him right now. He's in isolation. And he just starts, like, pouring out his heart. Like, he's just like, he's almost got tears in his eyes. He's like, I don't want to lose my son. And I'm just like, oh, my. And I was almost afraid to pray. And all of a sudden, I hear God say, pray for his son. And I looked at him. I was like, dude, I said, you don't know me from Jack. I said, this might seem really weird, but I said, can I pray for you for your son? And he's like, please do, please do. And I could tell he was not a church guy. God never sends me church guys. He always sends me these rougher type characters. But you could see he was just melted on the inside. He's like, please, please do. So I put hands on him. I just began to, nothing earth-shattering. I just began to pray that Jesus would heal him, that he would heal his son. And he just looked at me. He's like, just thank you so much. And he left. And then I'm like, oh, God, please heal him. I was like, because you're like, okay, I just stepped out there. And, you know, I might never see this guy again. But still, like, your name's on the line. Please heal him. And like 2 days later, I get this text, and I think we were watching TV, and I'm like, I came undone. I was like, Amy, guess what just happened? And I get this text. It was just a real simple text. He's like, thank you for your prayers. My son has been released from the hospital. Oh, I didn't do anything. But Jesus did. And I was just like dumbfounded because, a lot of times you pray those prayers and you don't hear anything at all. So I'm like, oh my word, he just did that. I didn't do it. He did it. Look what he did. And it was just out of that, just that simple obedience of, I just need to pray this simple prayer. Jesus, heal his son. And he did everything else. And so God keeps on taking me closer and closer to what he's asking me to do. Even today is one of those steps. When Kevin asked me last week, I'm like, I don't like to know like way ahead of time. I'd rather just like show up and say, hey, can you talk a little bit this morning? That way I don't have to think about it. But it was this process I had to go through. And I got to know God really well this week through that process in different ways I've never known him before. There's been this verse that's been burning on my heart. And praise team, why don't you go ahead and come up on here, okay? That way you're up here and ready to roll. But there's this verse in Isaiah 6. And I know we talked about it a few weeks ago. And so Isaiah 6:8, where we see God, Isaiah is going through this process where he realizes, Isaiah did not start out as a prophet of God, as a man of God. He started out as just a commoner like everybody else. And you see all of a sudden God's like, come here. He starts making excuses. I'm sinful. I live with wicked men. And, in other words, he's saying, hey, I'm wicked too. Why are you picking me? And you see him start, making excuses. And you see him like, come here. And you see Isaiah turn to him. And all of a sudden, God grips Isaiah's heart. And then you hear this question go forth from God. It says, who shall I send and whom will go for me? And it was probably one of those things that just came like in my own life where it just kind of comes bursting out of your mouth. I'll go. I'll go. And then you're like, oh, what did I just say? But it came out. And I'm hearing God say, who will go for me? Who shall I send? And I believe that call is going out right now throughout the earth. Because he said, I want to raise many of my sons and daughters up. I want to release them into the things that they're called to do, the things that they have been afraid to pray for, the things that have been on their heart for a long time. I want to see them go there. And he's saying, hey, who will go for me in this situation? Who will go for me where I'm at right now? Because I'm not where you live. I don't walk the same path that you walk. Kevin doesn't walk the same path you walk. You do. And for far too long, we've waited for somebody else to go, or we prayed that prayer, hey, God, why don't you send somebody to go take care of this? And we've spent probably millions of hours in intercession beating the air for God to go send somebody to go take care of something. But he's saying, hey, who will go for me? Who can I send? And I believe he's asking us to go.